Have you ever wondered if you're doing this whole parenting thing wrong? Just not good at it? Because it feels like your kids are so much harder than your friends' kids, or just looking around, you just feel like you're struggling and the issues you have, maybe it's only at home or maybe it is visible elsewhere, but it just feels so hard. Today is for you. And today's guest, Dana Abraham, is going to be a blessing and what you really need to hear. And it is a longer episode today, but I felt it was really important to keep it all together into one, to hear the whole progression of her story and just for you guys to get all the tips throughout. This is especially for those of you with children with more intense behaviors or even just a little more challenging than normal. Or just your everyday common like toddler issues or wherever you're at. There's something for you in all pieces of this today, no matter where you are. And it's just really important to go through and listen and find out about what she calls curiosity shifts and what those look like that are going to be hugely helpful as you navigate some of the challenging behaviors. And towards the end, I don't want you to miss, I think you can utilize this three-step process for any type of meltdown. So you're going to learn about say, do, and provide and what that means. So without further ado, I cannot wait for you to hear all that Dana shares with us. And I know you're going to be looking for more insight. So she does have a podcast as well and her book, Calm the Chaos. And she's also got this awesome resource of different trainings and just to know what to do in every circumstance. I believe it's called The Huddle. So you can check into that. But first, tune in, and I hope you are really encouraged today with some vulnerable and powerful shares of how to get through parenting, especially with challenging kids. My name is Julie Redmond, and this is the Mom Made Plans podcast. Here we make mom life easier through practical strategies to get out of survival mode, become efficient with time, and impactful with family. And I just want to remind you, if you have not taken the Where to Start quiz, there are four potential outcomes of that quiz. And spoiler alert, one of them is to get a parenting boost. And today's episode is certainly a parenting boost for sure. And we're actually going to be doing a series on the podcast soon where I'm going to go over each of these four components that are really the pillars of motherhood and what we commonly struggle with. So if you haven't taken the quiz yet, go ahead and take it so that you can be prepared for that series coming up in a couple weeks. All right, now let's get into the conversation with Dana. Okay, before we dig into these specific challenging behaviors and getting help with this, I would love for you to just share with us a little more context of where you're coming from and the type of families that you serve with these especially challenging behaviors. So would you just give us a little brief overview of yourself and where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Dana Abraham, and I founded Calm the Chaos Parenting, and it came out of desperation, not out of like, ooh, it'd be fun to start something in parenting. I was an educator for over 12 years in Chicago public schools. I had taught in all different really challenging situations, and my favorite kids were the kids who came with a paper trail behind them, the ones that all the other teachers would talk about in the staff lounge, who warned you about them, and the parents would drop them off day one with their head hung low. Like the parents knew it, the kids knew it already. And I only taught kindergarten and first grade, and the kids already knew by then that they were that kid. And when I became a parent, I really thought I was going to be the world's best parent, despite all of my education and everything I knew, and even my background growing up. I grew up in massive amounts of chaos. And so I really thought I had this thing figured out. But the first 7 years of my parenting, I felt like I was an utter failure. I felt like I couldn't do anything right, especially once my kid hit real school. So he was kicked out of preschool, very first school he went to. He was kicked out. Then he went to kindergarten, and he was in trouble all the time in kindergarten. Then by first grade, he was starting to get suspended quite a bit. I was getting called to the school. I was having to stay after school. And then by second grade, he was suspended more days than he was actually in school. And now the suspensions and the behaviors at school and the behavior and the behavior at home was more just like, let's figure out why you're struggling so much at school. We obviously had struggles at home, but it was mostly when he went around to other people. And I was super vigilant. I'd be what people call a helicopter parent, maybe, because I had to be. If we went to the park, I had to make sure I watched every single movement he did, because he could push a kid off the top of the play gym, you know? And so I had to be super vigilant. It was exhausting. And it hit ahead when my son was going into third grade. I think he had just started third grade. And I just had my youngest, and I hadn't had her yet. Sorry. I was pregnant with her, and I was getting calls every day. Right. And so I remember getting this call, and it was like, you need to come. He's had a meltdown again. And I get to the school, and I'm 9 months pregnant here, right? Thinking I'm going on maternity leave. It's going to be beautiful. And they have my son, I kid you not, in a glassed-in room in the office. He looked like a caged animal. And because of that, he was also acting like one. They wouldn't let me talk to him. They wouldn't let me calm him. They wouldn't let me help him. They just carted me right beside him and into the principal's office. And the principal's office sat me down. And the principal looked at me and she said, look, we can't keep doing this. And she had a police officer there. She said, you have two options. You can either let this gentleman take your son into custody, or you can take your son home and don't bring him back till you figure out what's wrong with him.
Wow.
That's the type of challenging behavior we're talking about here. That's when, you know, I should have walked out immediately and known that that was illegal, but I didn't. Instead, you know, I kept trying to get him his needs met. I kept trying to get an IEP created. I tried to work with the school. I got him therapy. I got him all these things. And it was just so evident when he started coming home with bruises from school, from holds and from grabs and things like that. I was like, you don't fit here. So we pulled him out and I started homeschooling him. And that was 10 years ago. And my main goal was for him to not hate himself and for him to not hate the world for not fitting in. And that's what I really focused on. And when I started all this, I had no desire to tell people how to parent, what to do, what to say, any of the things that we might talk about today. No desire to do that. I just wanted to share what was happening in our family, because when I Googled what was happening in my family, I couldn't find any examples. Nobody was going through what I was going through, or at least that's what like the algorithms made me believe, is that everyone had it figured out and I was the only one. So I started sharing online because I just wanted to find one other person. It was super selfish. I just wanted to be like, is there one other person? And over the last 10 years, we found millions and millions of parents who've come out of the woodwork and said, hey, that's happening in my, you literally just described my family. So at this point, now I help parents and caregivers, teachers, therapists, even pediatricians, and I help them understand the kids that they love more so that they can create a lasting relationship with them. They can empower the kids to be able to advocate for their own needs without the need of yelling, screaming, fights, meltdowns, arguments. I help them remove the tension from their lives. And now I don't just help parents who have this extreme behavior, getting kicked out of school, broken items in the house, police called on them, self-harm, things like that. I do help those parents. But because I've been doing this for so long, I've seen how this can work. Like, don't turn this off. If you're just dealing with typical toddler behaviors and, you know, or you're dealing with a teenager who is sullen and sunken in their room, or you're dealing with a five-year-old who doesn't want to do schoolwork or clean up their room. What I've discovered by working with my son and my family and the most challenging kids around the world is applicable to all kids.
Yeah, for sure. And that is such a powerful reminder. And
I relate to an extent of not that level of extreme, but to echo that wherever you are on the spectrum of dealing with challenging behaviors and thinking, like looking around at your friends' kids and being like, why are my kids struggling? Why are they so different? Why are they struggling? Why is there so much defiance and not picking up? They're such a kind kid elsewhere. Like, what is going on? Or why is the anxiety so intense and I have to walk on eggshells and do this whole process when everyone else can just walk into a room and it's no big deal. And that struggle of like, is school a right fit? Do I need to homeschool? I'm in the thick of that questioning over the last few months. And so I just want to affirm whoever is listening right now, like wherever you are in this, there are nuggets and gems to pull out and apply, and that you are not alone. And that we all, even if it looks good at the playground and at school, it doesn't mean things are great at home. So I hope today we can just go through one, just knowing you're not alone, that we all are on some level of this. And two, that there is something you can do, and there are little pieces to make the experiences a little bit easier for you and your kid. And that's where I really wanted to go into. You had a quote on Instagram, I think, that I relate, and that you guys may have heard, but reframing from why is my child giving me such a hard time to why is my child having such a hard time? And I think it's just this mindset of curiosity that I love in general through all of us. We're big on self-awareness here and learning that. And, but I would love for you to just kind of dive into that a little bit of more of that curious mindset and how we can, I feel like this is sort of ground one, like step one of shifting our mindset.
So as we were talking and you were sharing your story, I wanted to share, like, I have noticed that there is this massive misconception and lie that we're fed as parents that if your child is struggling, you are somehow a bad parent. And if you are struggling as a parent, then you are somehow a bad parent. And I just want to dispel that myth. That is not the case at all. That's being human and figuring out humans in a new generation, in a modern world where there's all kinds of new things that our parents didn't have to worry about. There's all sorts of new information that our parents didn't know about. And we're learning and we're evolving. And it's not a sign that we're failing, it's a sign that we're learning. And I think that if we can really lean into that, it allows us to be open to all the things we're going to talk about today, is to give ourselves that grace. There's a piece of research that is my absolute favorite. It is by Dan Siegel. And it is that you do not have to get parenting right 100% of the time. Matter of fact, we only have to be D students. We can get a 69. And I am here for that all day long, that I can be a D student
Exactly.
and my kid's still going to be okay, right? It's like such a big relief, because I've talked to so many parents and they carry the weight of their child's future on their shoulders, every decision, every interaction. And yes, we should be intentional. And yes, we should be thinking about our child's future, but we should not be carrying that much weight that we are afraid to take a step, that we are afraid to trust our intuition, that we are afraid to try something and not know if it's going to work. Like, give ourselves that grace, that permission to get it wrong a lot of the time, and then be there to repair and reconnect when it goes wrong. Like that, I just wanted to start with that, because whatever we talk about, there might be parents here listening to this and go, oh, F, I am like messing up big time. Like, I'm not doing any of these things. And I know that because I have a quiz that'll help you identify, like, which of these things, like where you, it's actually not a quiz to help you see where you're failing. It's a quiz to see what's your strong point. Like, what are you already starting with? We start as parents so much looking at what we're doing wrong. And I think if we can start with what we're doing right, now we have a foundation to build from. And so I just wanted to put that out there before we start going into like, try this, do this. Like, it, none of this is with any ounce of judgment or to add to the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Take one thing from what we're going to talk about and find that next step. And then you'll find another one and another one. So bringing it back to that curiosity mindset. In all of my work, I found that there are four key ingredients that you need, just like baking a cake, to be able to create that lasting change with your family and approach any challenging situation. And it all starts with you. That is the very first ingredient. So the four ingredients are you, connection, understanding, and empowerment. And you do need all of them, but you only need a teeny tiny speckle of each one. You don't have to get all of them right. You just need a little shimmer of each of them. And so over the course of this podcast, I'd love to share just a shimmer of each of those. So the first one is that mindset piece. And when you're first starting with a shift in mindset, many of us have been taught that kids that do not listen to their parents, that do not obey their parents, that do not follow directions are bad, are manipulative, they have bad parents. And I just want right there, like, what feeling did you get in your gut when I said that? You either thought, oh man, finally, someone's talking about this. Or you thought, yeah, those kids are bad. You know, like that's what I've been told. You're somewhere in between, right? But the truth is that kids are developing humans. And a child who says no, a child who refuses to do things, a child who doesn't hold your hand when you ask them to hold your hand, a child who doesn't put on their clothes when you ask them to put on their clothes, a child who is hitting their sister because their sister took their toy. They are not mean, manipulative, disrespectful, rude. They are learning. And so if we can truly embody that and believe that, we will have a very different relationship with our kids. That's a big leap for many, many people. So what I say is let's go down to the base level, especially when we are seeing these behaviors that are hitting, kicking, their aggression, their things that are so bad that you're like, this is going to land my kid in jail or getting killed one day, or he's going to kill someone else. Like, that's where your mind goes. Like, let's be honest. When you're seeing your kid attack a kid on a playground, you're thinking of what's going to happen when they're 18, what society would do with this kid. But our kids, luckily, are 5, 6, 7, 8, right? They're still learning. And so if we can, as our very first shift, just take that one word, they're mean, they're disrespectful, they're abusive, they're violent, they're attacking, they have made me a prisoner in my own home. Any of those words like that can really cause you at the root to have so much resentment towards your kid. And if you have resentment towards your kid, it's going to be really hard to show up and give them connection and love that they need to feel safe. And so that's why this shift is so important. I have a couple that are super powerful right when you're first getting started, and I call them the get curious shifts. The first one is the idea that all behavior is communication. This is not a new idea. Luckily, when I first started, it was. I was one of the only people that I could find anywhere sharing about all behavior is communication. And it's this idea that just like when you have a rash, the rash is communicating that something's going on under the surface. I had a friend who had hives, and that's a sign on the outside that something inside is not right and something needs support and help. So if we can look at the behavior that's happening and going, huh, I wonder what that's telling me, we can approach the situation in a very different way. The second get curious shift that is super powerful, it goes with, like, it comes from the song back in, like, I think the 60s or 70s, You're So Vain. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm, like, you're yeah. so vain. You probably think this song is about you, right? That one. Okay. Well, I used that song on repeat in my head, just the chorus, because that's all I can remember, on repeat in my head. And instead of you probably think this song is about you, as like, you probably think this meltdown's about you. And it's not about you. It's not even about the banana oatmeal. It's not even about the socks. It's about something totally different. But it's not about you. If we can remove the personal attack that our kid not listening to us is actually proof that nobody will ever listen to us, then wow. We can really make some change in our relationship when we can remove that personal, I'm being attacked. Because when we think we're attacked, our brain goes on high alert and is like, woohoo, woohoo, like sirens going, like there's a bear, there's someone here, they're attacking us, like we must engage. No. If you say it's not about you, okay, it's not about me. So what is it about? So I actually like both of those shifts. I love the, like, you know, your kid's not giving you a hard time. They're having a hard time. I love that phrase, but I don't know what to do with it. Whereas, what is this telling me? I know what to do. And then, like, it's not about me. So what is it about? Like, that instantly tells me, okay, I know how to, like, remove that. I mean, it just, like, even makes me want to, like, drop my shoulders when I talk about it.
Yeah. I love that you call them getting curious shifts, because that we almost gain some, like, I don't know if power is the right word, but over the situation again, we're like, oh, okay. Like, I can have a plan. Like, I know it. I don't feel so frantic in that reactive defensive mode. And it is this almost like, it can almost be fun, a curious, like, task, because I'll be figuring out, like, my daughter's exploding and screaming at me. And I'm like, okay, if you can remove that it's not actually a direct attack. And you're like, is she just hungry or thirsty or tired? Those are all really big triggers for her. Or was it a hard day at school, but she's not going to tell me about it? Like, those are the, you begin to ask those questions and try to figure out, and it's like a scavenger hunt, and it gives room to work through a hard time instead of just continuing the explosion. So I absolutely love this curious shift.
Well, your brain cannot be triggered and curious at the same time. So if you can force yourself to get curious, then you will lessen your likelihood that you're going to get triggered.
Yeah, that's so true. It's a lot harder to explode and just keep the venting and frustration. Yeah, when you're curious, different part of
your brain can't be in that logical place of asking questions and finding details and finding facts, and also in protection mode. Like, it just, it, like, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So now it can oscillate real easily. It can go from, like, okay, I'm going to get curious. And then, like, oh, we can act. And it's like, no, it's okay. We can do this. Like, if we've, any of us have seen Inside Out, we know that, like, all of that fights with itself.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. We can be doing real good, and then all of a sudden it's just like, nope, I can't do it anymore. It's a lot of work. Like, this is hard. Mm-hmm. I do want to point that out. Like, we're talking about this. It is so hard. And there are days where I have this cognizant moment where I'm like, I just can't. I don't have the energy to do all the calming, well thought out phrases. I'm just annoyed and have to have grace with myself. Yeah. And you repair later and be like, sorry, I overreacted.
Well, and that brings up a good point, is that a lot of the parenting advice out there is like, here's the scripts to use. Here's what not to say. And it's, here's how you should show up, and here's what you should do. And what I've discovered is there's different stages, and it, while it's linear, and I present it linear in the book, it's not linear, right? It's like a roller coaster, and then it loop-de-loos, and it comes back to the beginning, and you start all over again. But the stages are still pretty clear when you're going through a challenge. You cannot start with best case scenario. You can't start with the rules, with the systems, with the routines, with the scripts, with the plan of attack. What you have to start with is, I call it riding the storm. That's stage one. And that is just getting through the ish. Like, you got to get through it. And you got to hope that you got through it. No one got hurt. And there is possibility of repair. I live in Tornado Alley, and I can tell you, every time that tornado siren goes off, we go to our basement and we just wait it out. We cannot go and, like, move things around outside. We can't go try to outrun the tornado. When it's hitting, so when your daughter's exploding, when all of these things are happening, there's no phrase you can say that is going to work. There literally isn't. Why? Because they don't have their logic brain. And I'm simplifying all these terms, but, like, they don't have access to that thinking and to receiving any phrase. You can have, and that's what I mean, like, you can have the best strategies. You can be the best parent in the world, and your kid can still struggle. Yeah. Because in the heat of the moment, they cannot access those things. And so We don't start with phrases. We start with ourselves. We start with, what can I do to anchor myself? What can I do to change my body language? There's the connection piece. What can I do to understand what's going on? And it's just a get curious shift. Because let's face it, when our kid is like kicking the cat, we can't be like, well, I wonder where this is coming from, right? Like, we don't have time for that. And so we need something that's just like, okay, like, this is not about me. This isn't even about the cat. Like, I just need to help. And then you're just getting everyone to safety as much as possible. And you're going to make mistakes while you're riding the storm. You're going to say things, do things. Your kid's going to say things, do things that are just not pretty. And then the empowerment piece that I talked about is that when you come out of the storm, it's not even about repair and connect, reconnect yet, because you might not know how to do that. And you might have a ton of resentment and your kid might have a ton of residual resentment. So what it is it's about focusing on what I call breadcrumbs. It's focusing on, and we talked about this some the other day when we talked, it's like focusing on these tiny pieces of proof that you're making forward progress. And the reason I call it breadcrumbs is I think of like Hansel and Gretel. I think of like being lost in a cave and trying to get your way out of the darkness. You need something to feel your way back out to the light. And if you are in this season of extremely hard, challenging times, it is incredibly powerful to say, today, I noticed that I was able to remain calm longer. Today, I noticed that my daughter helped her brother. Today, I noticed that we ate breakfast without food flying across the table. And it's micro, it's small, but they add up over time. And over time, you can get out of the cave. You can look back and you go, oh, yeah. Or you can be deep, deep, deep in that cave having a really, really craptastic day. And you can go back and look at those little micro wins. And I really suggest writing these down somewhere because you'll forget. You will totally forget because I get this every single, not every day, but I get it often inside of our coaching community. Someone will post and they've had a really, really bad day and things went sideways. And they go, I thought we were so much better. I thought we were so much further along. And then this happened and it reminded me we haven't made progress. No, do not judge your progress on your worst day. You are going to judge your progress on all those micro breadcrumbs along the way. And today was just a bad day. And tomorrow, you start back over looking for those micro things. So I just wanted to like share because I don't want anyone hearing this to think like that. You said earlier, and it's a process, this takes time, but that first stage really is just about riding it out and focusing on, okay, what is one thing I can change today? And we talked about that a lot when you were on my podcast, is just like, what is that micro change I can make? Not what are the big, huge, overarching changes. I see parents come in to our program and they'll cold turkey it. Like they will literally throw out everything they've been doing for the last 15 years. I got a 15-year-old. And they're like, all right, starting today, we don't have punishments. I don't ground you. I don't yell at you. I don't. And the kid is like, what the heck just happened? Right? You can't do that. You gotta change one little thing at a time. Takes a little bit of time, but you're going to get there.
Yeah. And just an example of just to affirm you guys, it is so true. I shared that my son has anxiety. I haven't talked too much about my daughter having some struggles. But it's been a tough several months. But one thing that I hold on to is that I can see the recovery time of when you have meltdowns and explosions, the recovery time is getting so much quicker. And so I can hold on to that. Like when we have another explosion, I'm like, oh, I thought we were getting better, to be like, okay, it is still quicker than it was in the past. Or this is one blip. Here, one day, we're all allowed a bad day. Your kids are allowed a bad day. And we are so all or nothing and judging ourselves in one moment on one day, like our whole worth as a parent is based on today and how we did versus like the whole journey. And to remember that. And so I just wanted to affirm what you were sharing there. Like it truly is so helpful to be able to hold on to that and be like, okay, there is progress. And so it is It is super, super powerful.
Yeah, and that just happened on a coaching call yesterday. Even a parent showed up. She asked a question about her daughter, and she said, "All right, it's that time of month again." And I was like, "Didn't we just have this question?" And she goes, "Yeah, a month ago." Her daughter's 13 now. She's been with us since her daughter was like 9. So we've watched her daughter grow up in the program. And she, the mom now, can recognize when there's going to be a big blow up. She has a plan for it. And now she's at the stage of really tweaking that plan. And so we go through the whole thing. I coach her. And at the end, she goes, and I said, you know, for all of our new friends here, because the mom goes, they're still so hard, but at least they're only once a month. And I was like, and she goes, and they're only 30 minutes. And I said, for all our new friends, because we just had a whole bunch of new people join our community. So how many of you guys would love to be able to say that you only have one blow up a month and it is only 30 minutes and you know what to do and you can see it coming and you know on the calendar when it's going to happen? Everyone was like, yes, me, please. We forget how far we've come. We like forget, because this mama was like really struggling in this moment. And then she even said to everyone, she's like, yeah, we used to have 5 a day and they would last 2 hours a piece. And now we're down to 1 a month. And I know on the calendar, it's like right when her cycle begins, we're going to have one. And now I'm just trying to figure out the best ways to support her in that and support my own needs, because the mom was getting not triggered by the kid's behavior, but sensory triggered, like overwhelmed, stressed out, and then getting triggered by her own past trauma. And so we have to remember that all that's built in and living in there too. And that goes back to that. If we struggle as parents, if we yell, if we can't be consistent, then we're a bad parent. And it's like, no, it actually broke my heart a little bit. Like, you're like, oh, I don't talk about this much. And it's like, and I get like privacy, that could be very much the reason why, but like, it is a taboo topic to talk about your kid who's having a hard time. It is a taboo topic to talk about your teenager who is failing all his classes. It's a taboo topic to talk about your kid who's experimenting with, you know, vaping or drugs or whatever. It's taboo to talk about your kid who's so like, quote unquote, good everywhere else. Everyone sees that. But with you, they are a puddle of mess because of their anxiety. It is not normalized yet to talk about the very human aspects of being a human and being a kid. Especially, let's not all forget that every kid right now had 2 whole years of a pandemic in their developing years.
Yeah.
These kids have got trauma, like everyone, right? So you asked earlier, what do I mean by challenging kids? Most people think it's the ones that I described at the beginning. Challenging kid is a kid that challenges us with what we know, with how we thought parenting was going to be, and it's not going that way. And I think that that's pretty much every kid on this planet. They challenge us to be better, do better, think differently, look at the world differently. And the mainstream advice we're being given, it might work with 5 out of 100 of those kids because they're right there in the middle of that bell curve. Or it appears to be working on the surface, but when they're older, they're going to realize that they were people pleasing, that they were shoving down their emotions, that they didn't actually get to share their feelings because that's what got them success. And I think a lot of us as adults can say that that was true. I wasn't. I pushed the boundaries even as a kid. So I don't know what that's like, but I know a lot of the parents in my program, they were that good kid. They followed all the rules. And their parents could say mainstream parenting worked for them, but I see them as adults and they don't have any self-confidence. They don't have any self-worth. They don't believe in their decisions. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust their decisions. And I don't think that's what we want for our kids when they grow up. So I would say every kid falls into this category of challenging our generation to think differently and do differently.
Yeah. And that's where I can get super fired up, because it's this expectation of what parenthood, like you were sharing in the beginning of, oh, like, this is fine. I'm going to be a great mom. And you hit the toddler years and you're like, what on earth is happening? Why is my kid not just like doing what I want? And like, there's so much lack of knowledge, just basic knowledge of, I didn't know logic wasn't in my kid's brain until seven or whatever and up and through their 20s. Like, what? Like, how much
Yeah.
less frustration I would have had if I wasn't expecting my 2 and 3 year old to respond to logic and rational. That's, I said it literally. I said the words all the time. Like, I'm just waiting for them to be rational about anything. And that was completely.
You're going to wait a long time, sweetheart.
But I don't think that's common knowledge, like basic
No.
brain development, emotional development. And it's like,
Yeah.
where is that information? And so that's where I'm cheering on and wanting to bring more here on this platform of like, please educate us, help us have this big sigh of relief of like, oh, I've had the completely
Yeah.
wrong expectation this whole time. And to learn for me, like, I was like, this is so much personal growth. I love personal growth and that's much of this
Yes.
podcast, but the parenting, it forces you to do so much growth. And sometimes it's just so much and so hard. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired of growing.
Well, and I think this is another misconception, is that we should be able to do this on our own. Why should we pay for parenting help? Why should we get support? Why should we hire a coach? Why should we do this when parenting is natural and people have been doing parenting since the dawn of time and they figured it out? And I would say, I don't know that they figured it out in the like stone ages, right? Like, kids were stoned to death. Do we want to go back to that? Like, I'm pretty sure we don't, you know? Or like, kids would just get, if they had any sort of difference, they were literally left and the tribe would move on without them. Like, do we really want to go back to that? Like, I don't think so. So to say that, oh, parents have been figuring this out from the dawn of time. Yeah, they've been trying to figure it out, but they've been struggling. And why not get the help? This is like the most important job we all have as human beings, is to raise the next generation. Yeah, I know that's a lot of pressure. I just said we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, but it is true. We are raising the next generation. And so it is on us to learn about how our brains work, because we have that information now. And most of the information out there is still being quoted by 1960 research. A lot has changed in the world in 60 years. A lot has changed since I was a kid. I'm aging myself here, but I'm one of those like cusp kids who grew up half of her childhood with no like internet or any of that. And then going into middle high school, it started to become a thing. I had a beeper as a high schooler, and like who has a beeper, right? That is just how fast our world has changed in technology. There are so many differences. Think about how medicine has changed. What we can see inside the body has changed. Because so if that's the truth, then guess what? We've learned more about how kids developed. We've learned more about how brains develop. We are able to see the impact of different ways of parenting, different ways of having connection with our kids, different way of validating their feelings, how that has an impact 60 years down the road. And so I just think we have to give ourselves permission to get the help we need, because the truth is if we could solve the problem from where we're at, we would have already solved it. We would have already fixed it, but we haven't. And that is a sign right there that I need help. I need someone who can see what I can't see, who can share information that I don't have, because I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to normalize that it is okay to get help in your parenting. It is okay to get help with your mental health. It is okay to get help with your kids' struggles. It's okay to have help. It does not mean you're failing. It means you're human and you are doing the best you can.
Yeah. My biggest thing is like, why struggle so hard when there are solutions, when there's help out there? Like, go to therapy, find a parent coach, like, listen to these resources. Stop struggling in a little silo when it can be easier. Like, why would we not choose to make this easier and know we're having better impact for our kids? And yeah, it's just, once we kind of have that light switch, like, hopefully we're just flipping the switch for this whole generation to be like, oh, there's a different way. Let's go
There's a
that
different
path.
way.
So we're shining the light on that path today, you guys. And this has all been super powerful shifts of just realigning how we think about parenting and challenging behaviors and what is quote unquote normal. I would love to just kind of include here at the end, like a few just practical takeaways of like, okay, I see I need to make some shifts and I see I need to look at my kids' challenging behaviors differently. Would you give us just a few practical strategies maybe of, yeah, when we're dealing with, when we're in the moment and we're in these challenging behaviors and my kid is screaming at me or the kids are fighting or whatever, knowing they can't have logical interaction in that moment, like what do we do and how do we help them get to calm and how just give us a few takeaways
here of like, absolutely. So like I said, I have found that those four ingredients are super powerful. And so you could name a topic and I could give you a plan. It's not going to be perfect because it's a plan that's coming from my head and my experience, not your head and your experience, and not involving your kids. So I'm going to say a plan and I'm going to make the caveat that there are going to be a lot of things I say that you go, well, that would never work with my kid. Absolutely. So tweak that piece, right? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, the plans work, but you're going to need to tweak it and personalize it to your family. So if we follow that four-part process, you connect, understand, empower, and we are dealing with, let's say the siblings are fighting. Like that's one that can really get to us as parents. We go into protection mode. We want to solve. We want to fix. We want to jump in and we want to be like, why would you do that? Don't treat your siblings like that, blah, 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 right? And then we're so worried that they're going to have a toxic relationship when they grow up that we start spiraling, right? So let's just do an in-the-moment plan. Siblings are fighting over toys. That's a pretty common thing that I think everyone that has more than one kid deals with. We're going to swap our thought from they always fight, here they go again, right? That might be the thought that comes into your mind to, looks like they're struggling. That's it. You don't have to know why they're struggling. That's it. We can just swap it, but not here they go again, right? Because here they go again puts you in defense. So you got to get rid of that thought. So then connection, how the heck do you connect when this is happening? Well, you get closer and lower. That sounds super simple. I know. And I know for some people, when they get closer and lower, their kid's going to kick them. I also know that. But the concept, you can't be in the kitchen. You can't be upstairs. You can't be in the other room yelling at them and saying, quit fighting. Like, that's just not going to be as effective as if you move into the same room quietly. You sit near them if you can't get too close. And you have your calm presence. You check yourself before you walk in the room. And you have on your face a sense of calm. You can freak out later, totally fine. But in that moment, have as much sense of calm as you can on your face and sit near them and get closer to them. That just shows your presence, that they don't have to do this alone. The understand piece. Understand that if siblings are fighting, there are lots of reasons that this could be happening. So we can do those simple shifts of like, okay, it's not about me. It's not even about the other kid. So what is this about? Okay, this is telling me something. What is it telling me? But for in the moment, I assume that you've already been through Ride the Storm and energy plans, and now you're in the moment. And so you can handle looking at this and saying, what basic needs weren't being met? Do they, does one of these kids feel unsafe? Not are they unsafe, but in their head, do they think they're unsafe? Meaning my toy that is mine got taken from me. I no longer feel safe in this environment because my belongings were taken from me. Ah, there's a key point, right? Do they feel disconnected? Well, they're yelling. That's a pretty obvious fight. Like, they're fighting with each other. They feel disconnected with each other. Do they feel like the other sibling doesn't listen to them, doesn't hear them, doesn't understand them? Do they feel like mom helps one more than they help the other? Do they even have a connection or a relationship outside of this moment? Or do they struggle to be in the same room? Those are things we can think about. We can't solve it in the moment, but we can think about it. And then the underlying that is like, is there something sensory going on? Meaning, is it too loud? Have they not moved in a while? Have they moved too much? Have they been touched out? Like, what are some aspects here that could play a role? And you just, you know, go down this checklist. And the next one would be skills. do they actually have the skills to problem solve? Have I taught them that? Do they have the skills to understand another person's perspective? Because if they're under 8 years old, no, they don't. Do they have the skills to communicate their needs in a way that the other person will listen? Probably not. I mean, obviously, that's why they're yelling. Do they have the skills to self-regulate, to be self-aware? I mean, they're showing you that they don't. So there's all these things that have built up to this moment. So knowing that can help you be more empathetic. Now it comes to the empowerment piece. This is the part that everybody wants. The scripts. What do I say? What do I do? What do I provide? You don't say a whole heck of a lot right now, especially if this is like you're going to take this after this and go do it. You're going to mirror what you see. I notice, I see, I wonder. Those are some very basic phrases. Now, I know someone is listening to this right now and go, I try that. And my kids say, don't therapize me. I get it. So that just means you're not using those phrases all the time. I notice you're wearing your red shirt. I see that you're having granola for breakfast. I wonder what you'd like to eat today. You're not using it when there's not tension and when there's not conflict. You're only using it in tension and conflict. So it's a red flag for your kid. And they're going, red alert, mom has changed. Something is wrong, right? So we have to make sure we're using whatever script it is we use. We're using it out of the moment and it becomes part of our everyday. So it does not send up a red flag to our kid. So we want to say like, oh, I notice you guys are yelling at each other. Well, no kidding, right? Like that's what they're going to think in their head. It's like, no kidding. So you could also say, I see you guys are having trouble communicating. I see that you're both upset right now. What you can, I call it a 1-1-1. So what can you say? What can you do? And what can you provide? And you're making this plan ahead of time. You're not coming up with 20 things to say. You're not printing out a list from Pinterest. You're not like none of that. You are coming up with one phrase, one thing you can do and one thing you can provide. That way, when it goes sideways, you can be a scientist and you can change one of them. Next time you can say something different, but you can still do and provide the same thing. The things that I say that beginners, and right, we're not all beginners. That I don't mean like you just started parenting, but beginners in this concept. If this is your first time doing it, you're going to say, I see that you're struggling, right? That's like the easiest one. Two, what are you going to do? Well, we already talked about that. You're going to move closer and lower. So you're going to move into their space. You're going to sit in between them if you have to. Okay, that's what you're going to do. And you're going to provide your calm body. What do you provide? You provide them with a break. Nobody is solving anything right now. So it sounds like this. I see that you both are struggling. We're not going to be able to solve this right now, but we will. I'm going to go ahead and suggest we take a break right now. You go here, you go here. I'll sit here and wait. Even if the break is just on either side of you, but they need a break. They don't need to be trying to solve the problem. They don't. Yeah, but he did this and he did that. I hear you and we will solve this later. Right now, we all just need to take a break. And so you allow them that break and then later you come back and that's a whole nother episode on how to create plans with your kid, how to advocate, how to teach them the skills. That's the next step, but you don't do it right there in that moment.
I think that's really helpful just as we've worked through this of like, okay, I want to make a change. Like, what is one thing I can do? So I love that obviously the curious shift we talk about in the beginning, but remembering this say, do, provide. So for you guys, for that takeaway of just having that in your arsenal, like, okay, and not trying to fix it in the moment and solve it in the moment, which as a solutions person, that is something I always have to work on, but teaching them to build solutions, but not in that moment while they haven't like regulated yet. So that timing is a big deal here. So I want you guys to hear from this, that timing matters a lot. So I really appreciate that pull away. And I do want to, I know there's so much about being calm and that calming presence, and it is really important. And just a little real world example in my home, I see it with my son and my husband as well. Entering the room, like getting home from school or from work, they are scanning me for my emotional status, my body language, my face. It is, I can see it in my son. He has to look at me for a minute and evaluate, okay, where's she at? She's smiling at me. Okay, I feel okay. Like even, and so that's more an extreme where you can see that, but your kids are analyzing what you say and do. And so when it's a really, I love that point of if you all of a sudden act completely different in that moment, they're like, "Who? What is going on? What is wrong with you?" And then they're even more dysregulated because then they're like, "Ah, mom is not mom." So many good points there that I appreciate bringing up. There, we could talk forever on all of these things, you guys. So what you need to do is go follow so you can listen to more of Dana's amazing input and insights and changes and knowing you're not alone and getting that support. So please share with us how, I know you've got a book and program, so please let us know how we can connect and get more into this.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can follow me on all the social channels and even my podcast. It's Calm the Chaos Parenting. And then you can also check out my book anywhere that books are sold. I highly recommend going to bookshop.org or going to your local bookstore and requesting that they order the book. It is available anywhere. It's called Calm the Chaos, a fail-proof roadmap for parenting even the most challenging kids. And it walks you baby step by baby step from survival mode to thriving as a family. And yeah, those are the best places to follow me. If you grab the book, we've got some fun bonuses for you and to get you started. So you can head over to calmthechaosbook.com to grab all those bonuses.
Love that. We are all about getting out of survival mode here. So thank you so much for all of your insights and sharing with us today. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Thank you for hanging in there through this whole conversation today. I hope you are encouraged and feel like you have some tools in the tool belt of how to handle some of these challenging behaviors and that you're not alone. So please check the show notes for all the ways to connect with her and get her book and all the things. And again, just a reminder to hop in those show notes as well for the Where to Start quiz. So if you're feeling overwhelmed and in survival mode, this is going to give you a direction to go in to what's your first step? What do I start with? This is going to help you see what to start with first. And you can find it at mommadeplans.com/start.